Well, yesterday we touched on another aspect of this story, how even before Friday's carnage, Newtown had its own internal debate over guns, and we want to take a closer look at that today. The New York Times reported that Newtown had seen a sharp rise in the use of assault weapons for recreation, along with an upsurge in unlicensed kind of pop-up shooting ranges. Well, this fall, Newtown's police chief asked the town council for help. The police commission proposed new regulations to require that all shooting ranges and firearms used at those ranges be approved by the police. Police also wanted to limit hours when people could do recreational shooting. Well, the proposals were tabled because of fierce opposition, including from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which the New Republic calls the second most powerful gun lobby in the U.S., and which is based in Newtown, Connecticut. Investigative reporter Michael Moss wrote the story with Ray Rivera for The Times. He joins us now. Michael, first describe Newtown and its relationship with guns before all of this, and then how they saw change.
Well, the first thing you would notice driving around Newtown is that you don't see a lot of guns. This is not a town where pickup trucks are driving down Main Street, you know, with gun racks on the back. It's a much more subtle thing, but what really astounded us when we got a copy of the police logs, and in those logs were dozens and dozens of complaints from people who are used to hunting, they're used to guns, but they were hearing automatic gunfire, explosions all over the town, in woodsy areas, behind their houses, next to schools, by boat ramps. And it became quite apparent, well, A, to the police chief, but then to us when we were looking at the logs, that there'd been a real change in the gun dynamic from traditional long gun hunting to people, you know, obsessed by automatic weaponry and these exploding targets.
And as you write, this is a town that has, you know, hunting clubs. People are used to that, but this was something different. And another element apparently that was being cited, an explosive called Tannerite.
So that is, in most states, a perfectly legal but potentially problematic explosive. You put it in the target so that when you strike the target with a bullet or a barrage of bullets, it'll blow up and make a big explosion, and a really loud explosion. There are reports in the police logs of people saying, I heard an explosion that rattled my house.
What was the problem with the existing laws? Because we know that Newtown had restraints on shooting within, let's say, 500 feet, I think, of occupied homes.
Yes. Yeah, Robin. So here was this is, again, sort of illustrates the changing nature there. The existing law was written in 1991 for hunting, and the police chief felt it was unenforceable based with what he was seeing. I mean, he was seeing cases where people were using automatic weapons to shoot at propane gas tanks to blow them up just for the fun of seeing an explosion. And he felt that incidents like that, and also just kind of this increasing numbers of people shooting up, you know, at pop-up little gun ranges, informal, unlicensed ones, was unenforceable under the existing law.
So this was not about hunting, and that reflects the divide that you found in the debate over the police proposal in Newtown, which we think reflects the divide in the country, that this argument about gun rights has shifted from hunting to something else. How did the sides square off?
The people promoting the stronger law were, you know, majority Republican, hunters themselves, police officers. And on the other side, the debate, there were two or three very raucous hearings in the town. Started off in August. There was another one in September that drew so many people they had to move to the high school. And it sort of split along the lines of traditional hunters saying, hey, look, we love guns, but this is out of control, and we need to empower our police chief with tougher laws to be able to at least go into these places where people are shooting and, you know, enforce some hours and safety requirements. And on the other side, the debate really became a Second Amendment, you know, right to bear arms. The people who were opposed, and by and large, most of the people who turned out were opposed to the new gun ordinance, saw this as an infringement on their rights and the rights of their children to bare arms. It became a huge emotional battle.
Who was on the other side against these tighter restrictions on shooting in Newtown?
One of the speakers was a representative of the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which you mentioned, and others were citizens who, again, had been convinced that any tightening of the gun laws was, you know, opening the door to infringements on what they felt were their basic constitutional rights.
Well, yesterday we mentioned Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. He wrote an op-ed in USA Today saying that it's lawmakers that were at fault in Newtown because they didn't allow guns in schools. But he also went on Chris Matthews on MSNBC last night. This reflects a shift in thinking from gun rights being about hunters to being about something else. Chris Matthews asked him about that. Why do you need this ammunition for hunting? And then they had this exchange. It's slightly edited. Let's listen.
Would this be a less free country if you couldn't have an assault rifle?
Yeah, because we have guns fundamentally protected by the Second Amendment.
Well, wait a minute. Why would anyone?
I thought you'd hear that. Yes, we have guns in order to control the government.
And where have assault rifles been useful in controlling the size or direction or policy of the United States government in our history?
Well, the Brown Best rifle was used to win our independence.
From the British?
So
against the British.
We do have a history.
When have guns been useful in curtailing the power or purpose of the federal government?
Athens, Tennessee, 1946. Townsmen rose up against corrupt government and threw them out at the point of a gun.
So, Michael Moss, Athens, Tennessee, 1946, an armed skirmish over voter fraud is given as the reasoning. Were those kinds of arguments made in Newtown?
I have to say that one of the more compelling voices I heard in this was from Mary Ann Jacob, the council committee chairwoman who oversaw these tumultuous public hearings. She was none other than the librarian aide at the school that Lonzo attacked, who heroically saved the lives of numerous children by locking them down in their classrooms and keeping them safe. And I spoke to her the day after the massacre, and she was saying, look, Michael, you know, we were not trying to change people's way of life by tightening the gun ordinance. We were trying to accommodate a modern civilization here where people have different interests and just to keep people safe. You know, it's just awful talking to people who have survived the massacre there, but you could really hear the emotion, feel the emotion that she had of having tried to, you know, toughen the gun laws and now gone through this incredibly horrific incident. And I think the town is now they're going to have to come back and look at this again. And it no doubt it will be again continue to be emotional.
Michael Moss, investigative reporter for the New York Times with Ray Rivera. He's written an article on Newtown. We'll link it hereandnow.org. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, your thoughts. Athens, Tennessee in 1946 and a battle over ballot boxes. You should Google it. Your thoughts on that as a case being made to have guns in case you need to fight your government. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Hereandnow.org. On Facebook.com/hereandnowradio, weigh in. When we come back, backing away from the fiscal cliff here and now.